in our Scottsdale campus this year, the kids were doing a songwriting workshop that ended with them recording their songs in a professional music studio. And some of the students have now released their music on Spotify, and they really were fantastic.
Welcome to the Future of Education podcast, hosted by Mackenzie Price. Mackenzie is the founder of a revolutionary new school model that's disrupting education through AI. Join us as we discuss the latest in education innovation.
It is so fun to be at our location in Austin, Texas. This is our pre-K through fifth grade location. We call it Spyglass. And I'm here with one of our guides, Hannah, today. And we're going to talk about a question that comes up all the time for us, which is, do you teach music and arts? Are you going into those types of lessons when it comes to the curriculum and the time we spend? And the answer is, of course we do.
Of course we do.
But we always do things a little bit differently. What I always tell parents is, you're probably not going to walk into a class and see kids on the recorder, you know, or necessarily doing like square dancing, which is stuff that I grew up doing. And I think a lot of schools still are using. We come at everything a little bit differently. And so Hannah is going to join us and talk about our music programs.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This is a really exciting topic. I think I'm glad that you talked about how it's not just a bunch of kids who are doing a recorder because that's what we've always done. Mm-hmm. I should mention that we're doing in our LL group, we're doing a
LL is kindergarten and first grade.
Yes,
we call it,
is. It
Learning Lab. And so at our schools, we kind of go through what we call levels. So when we talk about LL, we're talking about our kindergartners and our first graders.
Absolutely. So we're doing a music launch. And our launches in the morning are really about getting kids engaged and excited for the day ahead. And what we really like to do is we love to have kids give us their interests and then form launches around what they're interested in.
Okay.
So I started at the beginning of the year playing a morning song on my ukulele. I'm a big ukulele lover.
I play it all the time.
So from day one, I played what we called the welcome song, and kids would come to the carpet and they just started to fall in love with ukulele, and they would ask me about it a lot.
So ukulele is, by the way, such a joyful instrument.
It is.
It's so much fun. It automatically, of course, the most famous song on the ukulele is probably like Somewhere
Over
the Rainbow. But it makes you happy. So
it
that's very cool.
It does make you happy. And it's so, honestly, it is so easy to learn. And it's, it just fills the entire room with so much joy and happiness. So they were asking me about it a lot. And because they were asking me about it and because they had self-driven interest, I wanted to do a music launch.
Very cool.
So we got everyone a ukulele in the level, and we started playing, and kids have ukuleles in hand. We've learned two chords. We've played together, and it really is one of the coolest things we've done all year.
Now, I imagine a room full of 5 and 6-year-olds playing the ukulele who've never played before. Mm-hmm. It can be maybe not quite as joyous of a noise, but definitely noisy.
Yeah, you know, I thought that. I was like, I don't quite know how this is going to go because I'm not a music teacher. I come from an arts background, mostly theater, mostly acting. But I knew this is the thing about trusting kids when they're interested in something. If they are interested and if you give them ownership over their learning, they want to learn. They're not going to mess around. They're not going to treat it like a toy. They are so interested in getting better and exploring this instrument that these 5 and 6-year-olds are sitting, waiting, listening, and playing together.
So you bring up two points that I think are really important, and I always want to highlight on that. First of all, just how curious and interested children are, right? You are dealing with kids right as they're coming into the school world, and they are sponges. They desperately want to go out and learn and add new information and acquire new skills. Mm-hmm. I always think traditional school really underrates kids and kind of assumes what you need to do is learn how to sit still and just be quiet. And these kids are so excited about doing that. And then the other thing you pointed on that I just think is so important about what we do at our schools is giving kids a sense sense of ownership mm-hmm. and agency. So everything from the fact that you ended up creating this music workshop around the idea that they were interested in the ukulele and they had been exposed to, you know, this musical instrument through what you were doing in Morning Launch every day.
Yes.
And then they said, okay, we want to learn this. And how are we going to do this? And I think a lot of people would say, you know, gosh, in a kindergarten, first grade classroom, there's not a lot of student directed, you know, learning that says, hey, we're interested in this musical instrument, we're going to go for it. And so what you're seeing is that kids call themselves and each other to a higher standard of behavior when they feel that sense of ownership.
You've nailed it. That is exactly what it is. And I think that, you know, we can easily say, well, all kids should have music and all kids should have this. Mm-hmm. But if they're not interested in it, you can have the greatest music lessons in the world. You can have the greatest experts ever come out. But if they don't have an interest in it,
yeah.
then there's something different than saying, yes, mandatory music, and no, not necessarily mandatory music, but let's see what they gravitate toward.
Yeah.
Let's see what they're innately curious about, and then let's put that in the
classroom. So let's talk about that part of it, because I totally agree. I remember going to the symphony mm-hmm. every year as part of my school field trip and falling asleep mm-hmm. at every symphony and just not having that appreciation. And my dad, who loves classical music, you know, he has worked on exposing me to it over the years. And I also remember when I was about 22 realizing, you know what, I'm an adult and I never have to go to the symphony ever again because I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Now, at the same time, and we see this is true. My own daughter is an example of this. She has been exposed to that kind of music and she loves it. And I think exposure is really important. But in your class of kindergarten and first graders, what do you do with that? You probably have at least one or two kids who's not showing that much interest. How do they, you know, how are they engaging with this launch workshop? And what do you do differently for those kids?
Well, I think that that's why this kind of goes into our idea of life skill and our idea of life skill of grit, right? And I've been thinking about this a lot because I think that when, certainly when adults think about grit, they think of it as this finite thing. Like I am going to, in these hard moments, I'm going to use grit and then it's gone. You know, that's just like this thing that I used
you only, have,
really
so much you only grit, have so much grit and you got to allocate it to the things that you need grit for
exactly.
and then save it up.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I think that actually what we're doing in the learning lab level in K-1 is we're talking about how grit isn't something that you use. It's something that you are. Mm. You are grit. You don't have to be the best at everything, but you have to do your best at everything. You have to try. You try it out, do your best. And then if it's not for you, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so I think to your point, for kids who maybe it's not innately their passion, they're still using that grit. They're mm-hmm. still trying. They're still thinking, okay, how can I still do my best at this? How can I not quit at this, even though it's not my favorite? How can I use grit mentally? How can I use grit? Where else can I use grit in this moment? And I think so for them, maybe it's not about the joy of the music, but maybe it's about how do I apply this life skill that I'm learning and get better at something? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And are you also teaching the kids how to learn to play the instrument in terms of, you know, how to go on a YouTube tutorial mm-hmm. or any of that? Or are you teaching? Because I think that's one thing people are often surprised about,
yeah.
the way we teach at Alpha.
Well, I think that's true. And I think, you know, this is a launch and not a workshop. Mm-hmm. So it's much shorter. Every single morning we have what we call a launch. And so when we start our day, it's about getting kids physically and mentally ready for the day. So it's about getting them excited. It's about getting them moving, and it's about coming together collectively so we can really what we call lock in to the rest of our day.
So in kindergarten and first grade, every morning the kids are starting out with a ukulele launch, and during these launch times, and they're not long, it's like 15 minutes, but in that time you're teaching kids chords.
That's
and
right.
they are starting to learn mm-hmm. how to play the ukulele.
Yes. We do Music Mondays. So every Monday for at least one session, but we might make it two because they're loving it so much. So I would say 6 to 7 weeks is typically our session length. So you're thinking 15 minutes once a week for one session.
So it's really interesting, Hannah, because basically, you know, these little kids are getting, you know, about 15 minutes a week mm-hmm. over a period of, you know, 6 to 12 weeks mm-hmm. of exposure to music. That's not a lot, but it's actually good for that age as well.
It is.
I imagine that you're seeing some of those kids who are having a real affinity mm-hmm. towards this music. And you probably can even see like, wow, there's some talent there and there's some
yes.
interest there. What do you do with those kids and how do you feel that?
Well, and this is what I was going to say. This is what's so exciting about a launch and what's so exciting about self-driven learning. Like we said, you have some kids that, yeah, this is okay, maybe, and maybe they're working on other things. Then you have kids where it's like their mind has just been open to something that they've never seen before. And they get so excited. And yeah, they'll go on and they'll find music on YouTube Kids and they'll find tutorials. I've had so many say like, Miss Hannah, can we take our ukuleles home? Are we going to get them at the end of the launch? And yes, they do. They get to keep them. They get to go on. I've had kids say, can I play the welcome song with you? We had one student who went home, learned the chords. Her mom sent us a video of her playing the welcome song. So you get the whole spectrum of when you get kids to own their learning, watch them run, like give them the runway and then let them go. We don't have to have control over every moment of their learning in order to really spark that learning and that excitement and to see it grow.
Yeah. So that's like an example of a little taste of music that we're giving to our youngest kids. Mm-hmm. At our Miami campus, I was there last fall and the kids were doing this incredible keyboard workshop, yes, also in kindergarten and first grade. I was at one of our Test to Pass events a couple months ago and our fourth and fifth graders were doing piano recitals with really impressive music that they'd done over a longer period of time. We also are doing an activity where our fourth and fifth grade students are creating something called ACL Festival. For those who are familiar with Austin, Texas, Austin City Limits Festival, ours is similarly inspired, but it's called the Alpha City Limits Festival. And there, kids are not only learning instruments by being able to create and participate in a band and learn, mm-hmm, musical instruments, but they're also doing the marketing and event planning around what this festival is going to be. So that's an example of something that they're kind of working through. And in all of our workshops, we have life skills that, mm-hmm, we're doing. So I know that in that ACL Festival workshop, it's a teamwork workshop. They're probably learning entrepreneurship, lots of things in addition to music. I also remember in our Scottsdale campus this year, the kids were doing a songwriting workshop that ended with them recording their songs in a professional music studio. And some of the students have now released their music on Spotify, and they really were fantastic. So there's just a few examples at the, you know, kind of elementary level of what we've done. Of course, at the high school level, we've got a student who is very, very successfully working on launching a musical that she wants to get on Broadway.
Amazing.
She's doing another series right now. She's had actually a few viral hits from some of her songs, and she's learning all kinds of things. That's just like a brief thing of stuff I've heard of. What else are we doing at Alpha with music?
I mean, I think that we are combining music into a lot of different things that we do. Like I said, it could be a morning song. It could be transition music. It could be a dance party. I mean, I think that that's what's so great about the arts is that you can take the arts and infuse it into everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that one of the things that we have to remember is like how many people's parents made them play the piano at 5 and then they never wanted to play again because they didn't want to practice every day. It wasn't really something that they love to do or excited to do. So if we start that, we just, like you said, expose kids to music, give them a chance to like their own music, give them a chance to make their own music. And I think that we're doing that around campus all the time. You'll, yeah, hear us sing, you'll hear us make up little rhymes, and kids really take that and they go with it.
Yeah. Actually, even in our high school during AP season, when they're studying for AP exams, they were coming up with songs and using AI to actually write songs to help them remember, you know, their AP art history canons.
Yes.
And, you know, AP US history, we had a lot of Hamilton redo type of music that they were learning. And that's actually a great tool for that. Now, you also mentioned, Hannah, that you've got an acting background, performing,
yes,
arts and theater. And that's something else that we do at Alpha, just often with a little bit of a different twist. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, having an acting background has set me up for great success as a guide. I will say just that connection and being able to keep the energy and just going back and forth with these amazing kids all day is awesome. But we're doing an original musical in the spring at our level, K-1, where the kids will design their own musical. They will create the characters, they will create the songs, and then they will put it on for for an audience. And we're really excited about that.
That is so cool. One of the things I like about that story is when I think back to when my own two daughters first started school, we were sending them to a traditional public elementary school. And I remember my oldest daughter in kindergarten participated in the kindergarten musical. Mm. And it was the same musical performed every year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, each kid was assigned one part that they did. They had no say in anything from the costumes that were handed down from year to year with the same thing. They were told exactly where to stand, what to say, what song to sing. And I remember my daughter, who actually showed some pretty good musical acumen from an early age, standing on the stage sort of like half-heartedly like, okay, you know, head, shoulders, knees and toes type of level of thing.
Right.
And there just wasn't a lot of real connection. And I remember talking to another mom there who's like, oh yeah, no, this is my fourth time watching this musical because I've had three older siblings and they, you know, my other kid was that person and my other kid was that character and whatever. And at Alpha, kids are making up, you know, these different musical things. And so when you're going through different theater programs, they're always unique and different. And again, I think it speaks to that idea of giving kids a sense of ownership and agency where they're part of creating and coming up with the idea, not just being told what to do.
I think that's right. I mean, take a look at most talent shows or most things that schools put on. It's mostly the teachers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're seeing a lot, and God bless them, but like you're seeing a lot of their work and not always a lot of the kids' work.
Right.
And I think that what I want to infuse into this workshop is that, yes, we need to teach structure and we need to teach how. And by teach, I mean we need to guide an understanding of how to do it. But then let them take the reins. And really, when you trust them to take the reins and trust them to take that ownership, you will be blown away at the talent that these young people have.
Yeah. And I think the creativity that comes through their lens, and I'll never forget a couple years ago, our I think it was our fifth and sixth graders were raising money for the Ukrainian refugee program that we were doing with getting kids in that were displaced from school as part of the war into our two-hour learning model. And so as part of that, they had decided to plan a gala. And the gala was completely run by these students. And I remember when I came to the gala, it was beautiful and wonderful. And the food they were serving was not food that I had ever been served at a gala before, right? It was like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and things that kids would think this is what's fun.
Yes.
Now, what was really cool is they'd actually elevated, you know, the peanut butter and jelly, what it was. And they had done different things that were just creative. And the parents and I were talking about this and laughing because we're like, this is kind of a fun, fresh gala. It's not a gala the way that we as adults would plan a gala.
Right.
It had that vision and they were successful. They raised money. They did a great job with it. And it was a nice experience, but it was definitely clear that kids had been the ones in the driver's seat, not the parents or the teachers or the administration planning everything and kids just sort of coming and doing their part.
Right. And I think that's the key.
One of the other things I think that's interesting about watching where our musical and theater arts kind of programming goes as Alpha grows up, you know, Hannah, you've talked about what's going on with our youngest students. But then as we see, you know, students kind of going through the Alpha system and in middle school where they get options of workshops and they get to opt in to the workshops they're picking, there's always some sort of a workshop that's got some sort of a connection with, you know, music or theater or art. It's also teaching some sort of life skill. So for example, a pottery workshop that kids participate in, that's actually a lesson in how to incorporate feedback, right? And adaptability. There's all kinds of things that kids are learning there. And then I think it also gives kids a chance to jump in at a deeper level for the places that they're interested in. And other kids who can say, hey, I do some of this, but I'm not, you know, in every part. Another place that I think we give a lot of flexibility for our guides to work with students that are based on kind of what interests they show is through our check charts. So our check charts, which is basically a series of accomplishments that kids need to be able to have checked off as part of moving up to the next level, which is kind of thought of as like a grade level. And about 80% of our checks are the same across all of our campuses. And then about 20% of the checks are checks that our guide teams have the ability to add based on what makes sense for that level. So for example, I know in our Miami campus, one of the checks that was on the check chart for our younger students was that they could write their own song and perform it. And so they were learning that as part of, you know, their piano keyboarding lesson. So there's a lot of ways that I think you can infuse some of that interest in arts, music, theater. I also think theater is a really fun one for learning public speaking,
absolutely,
right? It's improv, it's performance, all of those types of things. And we usually have some sort of a way to make this fun so that kids get really excited about the idea of public speaking and performing.
Well, on that, our last workshop was LL's Got Talent, and it was a huge success. The kids chose a talent, worked with AI to figure out how exactly to rehearse it, rehearsed weekly, and then performed it. But it really was about the life skill of giving and receiving feedback.
So let's take this a little slower, because I think people listening might be interested in understanding, like, how could I do this at home?
Absolutely.
So the first thing you said is, again, it's LL's Got Talent, which means kindergarten and first graders are putting on a talent show. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they have to do is they have to pick what their talent is.
Absolutely.
Give me some examples of what the talents were.
We had everything from singing a song, playing violin, cup stacking, ventriloquism, balance beam, hula hooping, yo-yo tricks, scooter tricks, gymnastics. I mean, you name it.
So truly, these kids came up with ideas they had of what they wanted
and
to participate in.
And they came up with it.
Okay.
Completely.
Then you said something else that I think a lot of people are kind of like record scratch. Mm. They used AI to research their talent. Tell us, what does that look like for a five-year-old to be using AI to research a talent?
Yes. So they had a chat bot that they were, an AI chat bot that they were able to talk to. They told the chatbot what they were interested in doing for their talent. Then the chatbot would ask them questions like, how long have you done this talent? Is this brand new for you? Are you excited about this? The chatbot helped them understand what kinds of things that they would need to practice, the materials that they would need to have, a theme that they might be interested in using once they were able to do that talent, and encouragement along the way of how they thought they were doing.
So I think there's so many different little rabbit holes that we can go down, because one of the things that we often talk about is that Alpha does not use a chatbot feature when it comes to academics. So when we talk about our AI tutor, it is not a ChatGPT teaching a child math or doing something like that. But in our afternoons, we are exposing kids to different AI tools so that they can learn. So in this example, our kindergarten and first graders are learning how to interact with a chatbot feature to be able to say, I'm interested in doing a scooter trick. What are some tricks that I could do, or how can I learn about this? And so they were getting practice working with a GPT chatbot to get them information. So that's kind of the difference of, you know, one of the things we often say is if you're using AI in the morning, which is during our academic block, you're probably cheating. And if you're not using AI in the afternoons, which is during our life skills time, you're probably missing out and leaving something on the table. So we're teaching kids that skill of using an AI tool as like a feedback partner and a thought and inspiration partner. Okay. Then what else do the kids do, you know, as part of developing their talent?
Absolutely. So then they would, every single time we got together for workshop, they would practice their talent and then they would perform it for their peers and for their guides. We had three different sets of feedback that they followed. So their peers gave them feedback, their guides gave them feedback, and then we actually brought in experts in each field to come in and give specific feedback to those kids about that specific talent. So they had expert feedback as well.
Wow. So give me an example of the kind of feedback that students, a guide, and an expert were giving to a six-year-old who's doing whatever.
Yeah. So we had a student do magic, a magic trick. And so an example of feedback that he got from his peers was, you know, I can't see your face. You're going to have to pull the hat above your eyes. Mm-hmm. You like to wear a top hat that was a little too big. Mm-hmm. And then guides often talked about using a mountain voice or a performance voice.
Okay.
And then an example is we had a professional magician come in, and this professional magician talked to him about his patter with the audience and how he could talk to the audience while doing his trick. And that's how you kind of keep the audience on their toes.
Oh, and distract the audience exactly. while you're doing whatever you're doing exactly. over here.
Okay. Exactly. Similarly to how we brought in the magician expert, we actually brought in a professional singer, and this professional singer worked with our vocalists and listened to their song, taught them how to sing from the diaphragm, taught them how to maintain eye contact, taught them how to visualize while they were singing. And it was so cool. So when they performed in LL's Got Talent, yes, they were doing a talent show, all done by them, not us. They had 6 pieces of feedback that they were given. We whittled them down to 6 that they had to show us that they could apply in their talent in front of, day of, 2 experts and their guide. So I was one of the judges, and then we had 2 experts, and they had to perform their talent and show us that they applied those specific 6 pieces of feedback in order to pass their test to pass.
That's amazing. And this is a great example too of at Alpha, it's not like we have on staff a juggling expert
right.
and a magician. We have guides whose job is to support and coach and motivate kids and help them on that skill of learning to become an expert or learn to learn. So what we often do, and this is true as Hannah's talking about, the kindergarten and first grade level all the way up through high school, is part of what guides' jobs is to connect and help their students go out and make the connections with experts in whatever their field of interest is. So at high school, that starts becoming venture capitalists, that guides are helping their kids be able to coach around how to go out and make those connections. At the kindergarten level, it's guides connecting kids with professional musicians and, you know, magicians and whatever those types of things are. And I think it's a great example of, we don't have our guides have to be subject matter experts, but they have to help their kids learn how to connect and become experts. Different from probably a traditional school, which I know you have mm-hmm. experience working at, where, you know, maybe there's a music teacher who she knows a certain amount about whatever skill she's teaching, but then at the end of her expertise, that's sort of the end. I think sometimes parents also wonder if a child finds an interest in something that they've been exposed to in a workshop, then what happens when that 8-week workshop is done? And I think that's where our guides really come in well, to be able to help identify, like, hey, this kid's got an interest in something, and maybe we create a special mission where they continue developing that interest. Or, you know, they work with the parents to figure out, okay, this is something that this kid is really excited about doing, and let's help develop that, which I think is a lot of fun too, when you're able to connect. And I recall we had a student who really loved singing, and her special mission reward for doing something was different than the rest of her classmates, because they knew she would love getting to go to a professional recording studio and recording her song. And that's something that they kind of do. And so I often say, when people ask about, well, how do you foster this expertise and interest? It's like, we end up shepherding kids that have an interest to go do something big. And it usually ends up not being just big for their school. It's truly, you know, out competing in the real world and doing something there. Hence, when you get all the way to the high school level, kids are often working on what we call Olympic level projects, at like our student who is creating a musical that's, you know, that she's working to get on Broadway. Or, you know, other students, like we have a student who's really interested in making movies, and he's working with a director. We have another student who loves the promotional side and the marketing branding side of movies. And he's responsible for all of the social media and digital marketing, both organic and paid, for an independent feature that's starring, I think it's Al Pacino or Robert De Niro. It's one of those two, which is pretty incredible, you know, in terms of that. And so we see a lot of things there. So all that to say, I think when I have people ask, well, do you do music at your school? The answer is, Oh, yes. We do music, and there's always some interesting touch to that. Same thing with arts and theater and so many other things. I think it's so fun. I really am sad that I didn't get my tickets to LL's Got Talent. I think I was traveling and gone. But what I have heard that's going to be really fun is what they're doing one level above with the second and third graders. I think it's like an Alpha Saturday Night Live type of skit.
It's something like that. I think they're creating their own sketch comedy. And again, they're taking complete ownership of it. They're coming up with it. They're making it a tight five or a tight 10, is that what they call it? And they're getting feedback on it. And it sounds like it's really fun. It sounds like it's really geared toward their interests.
Yes. And that's, I think, kind of key. And it's fun to watch as we build up life skills from, you know, youngest ages all the way up, and then also help develop those interests in that we do. Well, Hannah, I want to thank you personally, because you as a guide, you are the magic that makes everything go great at Alpha. And having that background, I know you were a former teacher and you've taught in private schools and charter schools. You've kind of seen it all. Bringing your incredible talents to Alpha and with these young kids is amazing. So thanks for being part of it.
Thank you. This has been such a joy.
Thanks for listening to Mackenzie Price and the Future of Education podcast. If you haven't hit that subscribe button, now is the time to do it so you can stay up to date on all our episodes. You can connect with Mackenzie on social media and be part of our daily conversation over on Instagram at futureof_education. Lastly, if you're loving what you're learning, please leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be back in your feed soon, but until then, remember, kids are limitless, and it's our job to unlock their potential.